Mr. Scott, are you with us today?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, I'll call the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order today, Monday, September 11 at 11:45 a.m. We'll start out with the consent agenda to begin with on there. I would look for a resolution to approve it.
Okay, I'll make a resolution to approve the consent agenda as it's stated in the
second
agenda.
Okay, motion made and second. Is there any further discussion, any additions to the agenda, review of the minutes, and then the payment of the bills? Any questions on any of those? I think the bills are pretty much in, nothing real outstanding in anything there. Anything from anyone? Hearing nothing, I'll let you take a roll call, Beth.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, the consent agenda is approved. Next thing on there is the minutes from our Labor Committee meeting, and we had quite a discussion that day, lots of things going on. It was on Wednesday, August 30th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we started out with power plant operations, which would we were informed as to why that was on the labor meeting, and along with when it's been discussed at the planning committee meeting, is because how it ties into our labor concerns. And the discussion opened with John Heron discussing the ties between the labor concerns and staffing challenges as we went along for the decommissioning process with that. And then Supervisor Folkendall explained to us what is going on and the number of staff that would be needed. Three employees that have resigned from work here, and that as we go on, that at least we would need eight current power plant employees through the decommissioning process. And then there was documentation provided to us as to what was supporting documentation as to why we would need the people that we did need, the comparisons of fuel cost, scheduling, licensing, and those types of things. Then it was requested of staff and supervisor to come up with an idea and their solution to how do we handle during this transfer. Decommissioning transfer was provided for the Labor Committee, and in that it will be that number three boiler will serve as a backup to number four boiler during the 8 months of mid-March to mid-November, and then after that, for the other 4 months, it would be boiler number three that would be running to provide that. And I know one of the discussions that we had brought up or concerns was, would we be able to get enough gas during the time, during that time when we would be with the coal and that would be running? And there's been discussion with CenterPoint Energy that would be required to provide a firm gas so that we could have up to the 1,200 decatherms would be sufficient to provide for the district heating. And there's an agreement that we will ask for approval later in there because they did come up with a specific agreement, so we're not just going by a verbal discussion on whether they could provide it. And that then that was approved at the time. The next thing that we talked about was the power plant staffing and a letter of understanding. It's that is included in your packet. That's between the city and the utilities that we discussed, that people that would be after the decommissioning of both the for the district heating and if the power plant is done, then what about employees and positions for them? And the city said and the hospital that they would give a consideration and preference to those employees for future interviewing and hiring, making sure that they knew when jobs would be available for them. And if they would hire one of our staff you know, into their organization. During an emergency situation that would arise for on a short-term basis, that person then would come back to help. So at this time, it's just a letter of understanding between them that says that staff would be notified of job openings. Then HR Supervisor Janelle gave us information on job descriptions and positions that are needed, and some that are placed on, you know, that are open but will be placed on hold for at this time. And after the discussion on that, the following four positions were recommended. Were two for facilities and purchasing, one in the new position in the engineering department, one in the line department. And these would be held for power plant personnel once work has been completed. And duties then would be shifted after July of 2020 for that. And then there would be a future organizational structure change to the proposed future organizational structure was presented to the committee. Got that backwards there. And for these positions, there would be need to be new job descriptions developed along with the changing of, you know, of the positions if they would be, you know, potentially people currently working and taking on those jobs. Yeah, and that was approved also. And then we discussed about the power plant staffing and regarding severance and staffing related to the decommissioning transactions. And and there's been a lot of discussion with Mr. Madden, our attorney, regarding what we should do, and that was shared with us, as well as proposed severance package was tentatively, you know, the language for it was proposed. Since that time, I've been notified that Mr. Madden reviewed that, and there will be revisions. So if you do have, as a commission, do have questions regarding what's in that severance package, you know, what that discussion has been with Mr. Madden, I would ask that you see John at it until it's formally put together again, and then it would need to come before the Labor Committee for approval again for that severance package. Again, the things that we talked about, many different things, many different options along the way. One basic thing for the severance package is, you know, years of service, licenses, what's needed, that type of thing of the folks that would be without a position once a decommissioning happens. And with the severance package also, everything that we discussed will be shared and visited with the representative from the union, again, for them to review and have their input before it's formally brought for formal approval through the commission, as well as then that it would be on to the council, etc. And then the next item that we discussed was the employee performance policy. And there again, that was brought to us as a follow-up from earlier discussion at one of our labor meetings, and it's providing guidelines for supervisors as far as for timing, that type of thing, and following through it so they can plan and review and have good review of employee job descriptions, not only their job description, but their performance. And so that was shared with the committee on that, and as well as for, you know, what the steps that you take if there does have to be a separation and that type of thing going forward. So, you know, it was 5 minutes of reporting here, but it was a quite a long meeting that we had and lots of questions that were asked. So at this time, I would ask for a motion to approve the Labor Committee report.
I make a motion to approve this.
Second.
A motion made and second. Further discussion? Questions from anyone here? Because as I say, it was quite detailed. Okay, hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And then, as I mentioned, the recommendation to enter into negotiations with CenterPoint Energy to firm up the gas pricing, again, that discussion is taking place, but so that we can actually get that specific and nailed down, so we aren't guessing in the middle of winter where the gas is going to come from. And I make a motion that we enter into those negotiations with CenterPoint Energy to firm up gas pricing. Is there a second?
A second.
Motion made and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And as I say, there is quite a bit of discussion yet that has to be done regarding the severance package, at least, you know, that we felt as a labor committee, some things that our questions were answered in so that we could go ahead with it. At this time, as noted on our agenda, just that the commission would concur with our recommendation to offer tentative severance package to power plant employees. Details would be further coming along. So is there anybody that has any questions regarding that at this time? Otherwise, we'll
go. Sure.
Sure.
Regarding the wording of that, would it be more appropriate to reference this as more of an incentive package rather than a severance package? Meaning that we are trying to incentivize essentially staff to stick around with us?
That's a good point.
My thought is perhaps, you know, the idea of a severance kind of gives a little bit of a negative connotation, so just a thought.
Any thoughts from your side, John?
Yeah, I think it provides a more positive appearance to what we're offering and trying to retain, unless our legal counsel, Mr. Scott, has an opinion one way or another. Otherwise, we can visit with Madden's law firm as well regarding using the verbiage incentive rather than severance.
My tentative thoughts are that severance was the accurate descriptor. I am a little reluctant to weigh in too heavily on this, given that you've been working with Mr. Madden. I would ultimately defer to whatever his recommendation would be.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Scott. We'll visit with Mr. Madden regarding this as we wrap up this package, if it would be appropriate to use incentive.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Good idea. Thanks, Justin. Any other questions regarding that? Okay, then we'll go on to the recommendation for the employee performance review and separation policy. Again, that was included in your minutes. Again, remember, it's a benefit to the supervisors as well as for our organization. And because it is a policy, it does require a resolution, so I would ask for a resolution to approve the employee performance review and separation policy. After it's reviewed.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Is this a policy that's replacing an existing one, or is this a brand new policy?
I would defer. I think that's
a new
one. Would you like further review of this?
I don't know if you want to have John go through and review it before we vote on it. What the
background?
Well, the background and the kids on it. So
sure, Commissioner DeBleek. be pleased to. This policy is stemming from basically last year when we did our annual review with the Labor Committee. Discussion arised whether we had a policy outlining, giving guidance to our supervisors in the review process. We have been doing annual reviews of employees. It's just there was not a policy in place to do it. So the Labor Committee asked staff to put together a policy, so we had a formal procedure for doing it. So we started out with procedures, performance and separation review is what we call it, but we basically in that section talk about when an employee would be subject to review, how often, and giving the employee the opportunity to also ask for a review if they felt it was appropriate. And then the next one is separation review. We included that in this policy as well, that when employees, you know, separate with us, that we sit down with them and visit and ask the question and use that information to help us improve our organization as we go forward. And then wage planning, that basically talks about both market-driven, pay equity-driven, and budget-driven increases for annual adjustments for employees, along with the COLA, that, you know, that's not a given, but it's considered on an annual basis. And then wage equity reviews, we're addressing that so we keep up with the marketplace to some degree. And then the responsibilities with the forms and turning them in. And then the bottom last paragraph, you know, we always retain the right to modify.
Madam Chair, just one thing that I'm curious about under the annual performance reviews, actually on the first page, are the employees encouraged to provide individual goals? Now, I see we've got departmental goals there, but are they encouraged to have goals for themselves, possibly continuing ed or anything like that? And if so, is that something we want to have in there?
Our review forms are twofold. The reviews, half of the review form is filled out by the employee, and in that process, they identify, you know, what they have for suggestions or opportunities or things that should be worked on for the upcoming year. And then the supervisor also fills out the expectations. What is expected of the employee in the upcoming year? What went well this past year? What are the expectations for the upcoming year? And then through that process, we also discuss the feedback from the employee. So.
And getting, Madam Chair, one more. As in regards to the wage increase planning, and John, you had highlighted the market rate, looking at the market. Yeah. And looking at increases, is there any ground rules as to how that's applied, or is this just something that is decided at the time? I mean, if we're way beyond market, is it an automatic increase to that particular rate, or is it, I guess I'm really curious about that, because are we going to set, are there different industries out there where we have benchmarks? How are we going to analyze that piece?
Usually for rate planning, typically, like APP on the electrical side, they have research, they send out surveys for that. The league also on the water side, they send out annual requests for survey information every year. And those two tools are our main tools that we look at, that we, you know, reach out to, that we analyze when we're looking at wages or setting new positions. We look at that data and we use that information to set positions pay. And then typically when a position is established, as a rule of thumb, somewhere between 80% of what is determined the position top pay sort of mirrors the union contract as well, and the experience they bring to the position determines, you know, where they start within that range. And then on an annual basis, based on positive performance review, typically, you know, they get a percentage increase based on their performance, and then the COLA is typically on top of that until they reach the top of what's considered their pay range for that position. And then after that, it's whatever the commission does for the COLA. With a positive performance review, then they're entitled to their COLA adjustment.
Okay, thank you, John.
I have a quick question in terms of, maybe you can help out. Just looking at it, you know, employee performance and separation, to me, it looks like maybe two different policies. Is this the industrial, you know, the power industry to have all together, or is it just that, you know, matter of convenience to put together these two? Because I'm looking at it in a different, you know, different two glasses.
No, Commissioner Webber. No, good question. We could separate it. We talked about, you know, preparing it both ways. However, it's all review, so we pulled it into one policy because the separation piece of it is basically one time in the employee's tenure with the company. It's basically when they're leaving. So we felt it was appropriate to include it in with our performance policy as a whole.
Because there is another policy for discipline and that kind of thing.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that would not be part of this at this then, the reason for separation or termination.
Maybe as you mentioned, Madam Chair, maybe the separation and the one you mentioned now, you know, discipline.
The discipline one, that would be part of it.
Yeah. That makes sense. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. If that's the commission's wishes, we can pull the separation part out and have that as a separate policy.
Do you have a question, Janelle, or comment? Sure.
In including the separation in this policy, when I put this policy together, that was quite common ground in review policies. And then another good example for the separation angle is our summer help. When they were done and headed back to school, we had two interns and one maintenance person. We had an exit interview. The supervisors had an exit interview with these people. What can we do better? What can we change? Were you prepared? So that separation review, that is to help us assess positions and what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And so that's another reason why this is all in one. So an annual review and separation policy.
So I got a little more understanding. Yeah, we're at another term for exit review, I guess.
So we can prepare it either way. If the commission is more comfortable with two, we can do two, or, you know, I believe it's appropriate to, you know, to adopt the policy as presented as well.
Well, are there enough questions, or is there feel comfortable you would like to review this a little bit more and look at that other, the other policy before we make that decision?
Go ahead.
Chair, thank you.
Sure. Just open discussion.
John, would you say that this policy pretty well reflects what we're currently doing today, or does this indicate some change in how we would handle things in the future?
Commissioner Mattern, I would say this policy, for the most part, mirrors how we've been doing business.
Okay.
Is there a resolution to approve this employee performance review and separation policy?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Further discussion. If not, I'll let you take roll call, Beth.
Commissioner Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Okay, the policy is approved. Okay, let's us go to the fun part here, talk about budget, that we do need to approve our 2018 budget. We had discussion 2 weeks ago on it, and there was no comments or that type of thing, but we'll let Denise kind of recap the budgets for us, please.
Just a quick recap. We did go through each budget
last commission meeting. Overall, we're budgeting a decrease in revenue of about $1 million. Largest portion of that is a $700,000 decrease in the EAA. Operating expenses, we are budgeting flat for 2018. So overall, retained earnings of 2.273426 for 2018. Looking at the capital budget, we're budgeting $10,538,994. In that, there's $1.48 million on facilities, line department, construction projects $1.13 million, Priam substation, the balance of the $2.275 million, rehousing diesel generators, a possible $2.5 million are the largest items for 2018. And again, we presented cash flow statements for electric, water, and combined. And ultimately, we'll be talking about, in the near future, looking at ways to address the shortfalls down the road on the cash flow statements and looking at some potential rate increases. That's a brief recap of everything we went through last commission meeting. I don't know if anyone, after reviewing it, has some additional questions on any of the items.
And just want to clarify that there are no rate increases included in this budget at this time that we would need to.
Correct. The budget does not include any rate increases at this time.
Okay. Madam Chair, just a question. And this, I apologize, I was not able to attend the last meeting. Were there assumptions provided with this the last meeting? Did we go through those thoroughly? I would like to see assumptions with our budget. Personally, being one that puts together budgets, I think we, in order for us to understand where your increases and decreases are, I think we should see an assumption based, this is a 2%, this is a 3%, whatever. So if that was done, I apologize, you've already gone through that. I missed it. But if not, I would like to see that going forward as part of this process.
Go ahead.
Would you care to have us go through some of those assumptions?
No, I'm fine. The budget looks fine to me as is. I just think being a reader of budgets and being one that puts together, and that's my wheelhouse, I understand it. I think for us as a commission to understand how we arrive at these numbers, I think it would be very, very helpful to see, you know, I'm increasing revenue by X amount because of such. And it doesn't, just bullet points would be fine. I don't think it's anything major, but I think it would be very helpful for the reader to see that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Dan. And looks like staff is going to heed that and will provide that for us in the future. Is there a resolution to approve our...
Right, Madam Chair, I have a question first. On the capital budget portion, after our tour last meeting that we had, I'm wondering about the office building expense, if we're looking at other options, if we really do want to look at putting money into our current facility.
And I guess I'll turn that over to John.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Magnuson. At this point in time, we have not spent a lot of time or resources on the different options. Back in 2010, there was a study that was commissioned by the commission at that time that studied the cost for this facility. That study was updated, I'm going to say in 15, about 2 years ago. The commission asked for that study to be updated. That was looked at it. The study was expanded to some degree to add dollars to the costs associated with being in multiple facilities. And on our tour, we had stopped at the Burnick's Pepsi building because that is potentially for sale. We wanted the commission to be aware of that property being available, that is, with some dollars spent on remodeling, could possibly fit our needs. There's enough acreage there between that facility and maybe a few more acres would be to the north of that building on the back side of it. That would possibly be an option versus building new. Other than that, staff has not spent any time on it. The building has not been funded. We do not have enough dollars in our budget. Last year, the planning committee as well as the commission prioritized our projects. Our building was on the bottom of that priority list. based on funding availability. So depending on the outcome of our rate setting process that we'll be discussing as we go forward here, if there's rates are set that supports a building that we can move forward with it, and then the concept that was talked about was to form a community committee to help with the design of the building. So once the funds are there, the first phase would be to determine location. Do we want to, you know, pursue the Pepsi building? Do we want to do Greenfield? And there'll be more discussion that's required on either concept before we move forward. And then once we decide that, then it would probably be appropriate to develop that community committee and solicit their input on the design of that building, if that's the commission's wishes to have their public's input. So not a lot of time has been spent yet on the direction that we want to go or should go or feel it's appropriate to go.
Any idea of the timing of the different facility?
It's going to depend on funding. Once the rates are set, we'll go back and update our cash flow statements based on the funds available, the dollars that we have to work with. And if we're going to fund our capital projects, as we've had some discussion already regarding, then it's a possibility that we could look at purchasing land in 2018 with design in 19 and construction possibly starting in 2020. But before we start down that path and start expending resources down that path, we need to make sure it's funded.
Okay. I got your question answered.
So, yes, sort of. Yes, I still have. If that's the timing, I understand, it's a big if there, but you're looking at a budget here of almost $1.8 million into a facility we currently have, which a year from now or 2 years or 3 years from now, we may take a look at a different facility and sticking more money into it. I'm not sure that's, I don't know that I'd be in favor of that right now.
Commissioner Magnus said, what we have here in our budget will be set aside dollars. We're not looking at spending that $1 million. Well, we got $1.8 million, you indicated that we have. That is designated as dollars to be set aside. The commission, I'm going to say 3 years ago, directed staff to have 25% of the project costs set aside in a building fund or capital improvement fund prior to starting this project. So those dollars that you see in our capital budget will be set aside and earmarked for the building, not spent on our current facilities. So I apologize for the confusion there. But.
Justin.
My question was answered in that one.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify that point. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, John, is that the same for the diesel generator, $2.5 million?
That also, when we were reviewing budgets with our planning committee, that's a placeholder. There's been a lot of discussion on our diesel generators. What do we do with them? At a minimum, we're more than likely going to have to spend the money on emission controls, but we're not necessarily convinced that the money, this $2.5 million, is the most appropriate way to expend those dollars for new generation or maintain generation. It might be better spent on new generation versus rehousing these.
Okay. Good. So, thank you.
More discussion to come on that piece as well.
Other questions? Sure.
Yep, thank you. Denise, was this already presented to the City Council at a work session, or is that yet to come?
That is yet to come.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Mannern, to further expand on that, we have been asked to appear before the Council at a work session next week Monday. So we'll be presenting it to them next week Monday. And following the work session, they will be approving our minutes from today if we approve our budget here.
Okay. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'd entertain a resolution to approve the budget that as it's been presented.
I'd offer a resolution to approve the budget and the capital improvement budget as presented.
I'll second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, if you'd take roll, let's see, this is a roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Hear from the City Council next week. I'd like Stacy is next on the agenda to discuss the liens on properties for unpaid utility bills.
Yes, recently staff just completed our bad debt and write-off recovery, so letters were sent out to following individuals notifying them that a lien would be placed against their property for any unpaid utility bills. They were given the opportunity to appear here in front of the commission, and no one responded. So I'm asking the commission to request that the City Council place liens on the following 14 properties in the amount of $9,837.61.
And are these residential, all residential?
There, out of the 14, there was one business on the list, one foreclosure and two estate accounts, and the rest correct. Some of the larger amounts that you see there on the list were electric, heat, as well as properties.
I'll make that resolution that we place those, ask City Council to place those liens against that property. Is there a second?
I second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Okay. And then we have some information from Mary to share with us.
Here to talk about the open hall scheduled for Tuesday, October 3rd, starting at 4 p.m. going until 6:30 p.m. I'm missing a couple of shirt sizes yet for the Beth and Dan.
Sent it to Beth this morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Beth has
them. Right, right, four of them.
So thank you for doing that. The newsletter is complete. It is off to the printers. It's in their hands right now. As far as the open house goes, we're going to go with the same menu as last year, cold pork and cold turkey. Kevin is kind of working with the caterer, same caterer we used last year, which is that. Shirts we've covered. Trinkets this year that we're giving away, we had an excess quantity of the lunch bags that we had last year and additional the light bulbs. So those, we're going to get rid of the additional or the excess of those. And in addition to that, we have a hot pad with the WMU logo, and this is a peeler shredder. And then there's a calendar, patriotic calendar that's going to go with all that. So they should be satisfied with their belly full and their medical. We'll be doing a drawing at the end, so we'll have 8 winners of $50 electric credit. A face painting going on this year. The water department will have a display. I haven't heard anything yet from the electric side or another pole. Sure. Food donations. We are accepting food donations this year, both from the food shelf and the Humane Society. So we'll have a truck out there. Matt is going to fill the truck, and we'll just fill the back end of the truck as stuff arrives. I'm working on an idea of a speaker. I don't have that firmed up yet. We'll see if that develops. So there should be more information coming on that should that develop. One of the other things that I wanted to approach the commission with is we are looking at holding a question and answer booth. I would need about 5 commissioners to dedicate about half hour of their time during that event for question and answers. So something I discussed with John, and he wanted me to bring it before the commission to see it. Instead of just telling you what to do, I would offer your help. could offer your help. So something to think about. I'll send out an email request for Beth Will to see if we have some volunteers that will help with that. It's just a half hour session. Just make yourself present, people know who you are.
Are we, as commissioners, will we have name tags?
I haven't thought about that. We don't have any yet. If not, I will get some, yes.
Even just a clip on things, I think that would be good.
So that's what we have now. And I just wanted to follow up on one thing that Dan had brought up, Commissioner Holtz had brought up, two meetings ago, was about the minutes. That minutes issue has, the audio problem has been resolved, so to speak. We have a direct link now from our website to the city's page. And then from there, they can scroll down, see our dates, get on hyperlink, and they'll be able to hear the audio. So that has been fixed, so to speak.
Great, thank you.
More easily attainable.
I have a quick question for you. How usually, customer appreciation dinner, how you contact with the customers to know the event, and is there any method?
Newsletter. That currently is on the newsletter. We put it in the newspaper, we put it on the radio, and additionally, Stacy has it done on the bill front.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other following up, because you know that we have a large number of immigrants who live part of our community, how can they participate in that? Because I remember last time I've been there, it was very rare to see, or even if they have a knowledge of that, is there any way that, or any plan we can do outreach so that they will know that there is such event going on?
If you have suggestions, I'm open to suggestions. I mean, I don't know a direct contact to basically the Somali community. Hispanic community, we don't have that much difficulty with that. I think they have that attendance. But as far as the Somali outreach, I'm not quite sure how we would go about that, other than the wearing of offer.
Commissioner Mabu, is there an additional newspaper besides the West Central Tribune? I mean, we advertise in the West Central Tribune, but I don't know, is there another or alternative newspaper or a newsletter bulletin or something that the Somali group culture,
usually appears? No, usually there is no newspapers, but there is some websites. That's most of the people kind of get.
Sure.
This is a website that I can share with you that you can maybe post it and we'll hear on that.
Yeah, that would be welcome. Okay.
And it does get on everyone's bill.
Correct.
Okay. If they would pay attention that they would, that they're invited to that.
Oh, on the bill too.
Okay. On the bill. She's able to put almost any kind of messages in there, and I know that the last couple of years she's used that venue, so to speak, as advertising for the
I suppose, is it possible those that are in apartments, which is probably a vast majority of them, they don't see the bill probably?
Yeah.
The landlords or owners pay the bill, so they're missing out. Sure. Yeah, if you be so kind to provide a website to Mary, we can get it on the website.
Definitely, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good point. Thanks, Zach. Get people included. That would be good to see more participation from that community. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, Mary, do we know the dates in advance, like for next year, or does it take a little while before we know when the dates
are?
Yeah, it's usually this.
Yeah.
Are we able to, or maybe we're already doing this, do we put the date for next year's event up so people are aware when it is the coming year? I don't know, maybe that's a way to just get it out too.
Select the Tuesday of PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So if we know the date in advance, maybe we could publicize it too at the event. It might help for, because I'm sure they mark it on their calendars right away. The new one.
I know it's usually pretty successful and everyone seems to enjoy and is very appreciative of the gifts that they do get. So it's a good PR, I think, for the community that you do. And I know, you know, in the state and nationally, that's recognized, that you do something, and the different things that different communities do us, we're right up there with, with them, that how we treat our customers, so that's a good thing. Okay, thank you very much, Mary. We'll see you on third, and we'll have many volunteers, I'm sure, for the Q&A session. For the power supply report, Michelle.
Good afternoon. Looking at the power supply comparison sheet, we're looking between July 2016 and July 2017. You will see that July's power supply cost was $55.03 per megawatt hour. That is a 7.3% increase from last year. The transmission costs in 2017 were about $100,500 higher than in 2016. And as mentioned last month, 2016 was unusually low at about $55,000. Transmission costs are historically between $100,000 and $275,000 in the months. The energy purchases were $42,360 higher than in 2016. This is mainly due to annual increases in the purchase power contracts that we just generally have. Any questions on that? Okay. So then looking at the second graph on that sheet, the actuals for July were 9.3% below the budget. And then looking on the next page, we have our real-time LMP averages in July. Those are $28.12, which is $1.62 lower than in 2016. And the day-ahead LMPs were $27.02, which is 33 cents higher than last year. So not much difference year over year for those. Looking at the gas prices, in July we were at $4 a decatherm. August was at $3.96 a decatherm, and September is at $3.75 a decatherm. So we're trending downward a little bit right now. And as a reminder, in July, we successfully implemented the load share program for 4 hours due to forecasted high heat index resulting in the higher forecasted load. Any questions?
Hearing none, thank you very much, Michelle. And then I'll go to John, your report, please.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. Two items on there I'd like to touch on a little bit, just for information for the Commission. This afternoon, staff will be meeting with, utility staff will be meeting with city staff to inform them about the Commission's directive on our intergovernmental transfer, and also have a discussion with city staff about what it should be called on the bill if, in the end, we elect to move forward with it. To talk a little bit or inform them about the electric and water rate adjustments that we've been talking about. And then to have an in-depth discussion with city staff regarding our water main replacement costs and their utility improvement charge. Where's that going? We've talked about that a couple times here. We don't want it to be funded twice, both on the city side and our side, but worse yet, it needs to be funded by somebody. So I think right now what's going on, that $4 charge, it's been 9 years since that's been increased. It's not covering the costs anymore of water main replacement. So we need to have an understanding between the city and the utility who is budgeting for what. So that's going to be the center of our discussion this afternoon with city staff, and from there we'll probably have a letter of understanding or a letter of a memorandum of understanding outlining who's going to be responsible for what cost and go forward, so that we can budget accordingly from there. Then also another item we're going to be talking about with this city staff is our what we call a billing charge on our bill. We get a lot of inquiries regarding that. People say, really, it's costing that much to send us the bill, and really it's a reflection of a lot of our fixed charges. So last time we did a rate increase, the question was asked, how come we didn't change that? That came up after the fact back in 14 when we started going through our rate process or rate change. So this year we want to capture that as we go forward on the onset and have some discussion regarding changing that. So if the commission has a vision or an idea of what they would like that billing charge to be changed to, we'd welcome those comments. But we're looking at, from a staff level, utility staff level, we'll see what kind of input the city has. But we're looking at changing billing to a fixed cost. So we'll have that discussion with the city. And then also, we have reached out to Mr. Scott about an ordinance regarding the intergovernmental transfer, how that would work, how do we approach that. And basically, we're informed that that is a form of a rate, so the city council would have to, or we need to propose to the city council that they adopt an ordinance allowing us to put that on the bill as a rate. The fee itself remains in our agreement. We just negotiated a new agreement with the city. This is the second year of that agreement that we're in. That would not change. The dollar amount that was agreed to there is not part of the ordinance, just adding intergovernmental transfer or city franchise fee, whatever is agreed to be identified on the bill needs to be in that ordinance. So we'll be visiting with city staff about that. And then just give an update on our power plant staffing, where we're going, that we're looking at a severance package as well as positions within the utility and the city. They're aware of what they have going on. And then the last item is the update with annexation. There's some discussion there with annexation out with the Eagle Lake area and the Sunray area, looking for a status update on that from city staff. So if there's no further questions on that, I'll move on to city council work session. City council work session, any council members that have time or would like to attend, welcome their presence at that meeting. They've asked that we attend, or I attend, or Denise and myself will attend that meeting and talk about the budget, give them a recap of our budget. They asked if we would be present for that. As long as we're there, I'd like to take an opportunity to share with the council as well where we're going with our rate and rate adjustments and the last time they're implemented, and then for transparency purposes that the commission's looking at identifying the cash proportion on their bill. And then also talk a little bit about how we compare to the industry norms with our intergovernmental transfer. Presently, as we're putting this together, I've been in the past saying we're around 10%, or actually 11.6% of our electric revenue goes to the intergovernmental transfer between the cash contribution, street lighting, our wastewater billing. And the medium for the West North Central is 4.6, that's the Minnesota region. Medium across the nation is 5.6, investor owned in lieu of franchise fees, property taxes, equate to about 4.2%. And again, we're roughly at 11.6. So removing the cash proportion as a line item would bring Wilmer's intergovernmental transfer closer to industry norms. The numbers are the calculations. If you have questions on it, I can go through that. But in the end, everybody says, what does it mean for our customers? You know, in the end, what kind of increase will our customers see? Our customers would see, if we pull that out, that would equate to about a 5.4% on our customers' bill. And that has to do with the franchise fee being at what, 2.1 million. And this year we keep talking about our EAA. We had set that at 4 mils per kWh, or roughly a 4% increase. Next year that would be back down from a million to 300,000. So the net difference is roughly 5.4%. And that's when we look at our cash flow statements on our budget, that would get us very close to balancing our electric budget with our capital projects included in them. So there would not be an additional increase needed in 19. However, on the water side, if we do proceed with intergovernmental transfer, we're looking at a 5 and a 5. We'd be proposing a 5% for 18, a 5% in 19, and we're just getting started with our bond payments and our water treatment plant projects. So there's a potential for additional increases in the future, but we'd follow that up with rate studies in 19. If we were to leave the intergovernmental franchise within our fees, then we would need to look at a 5 and a 5 on the electric side and a 10 and a 10 at a minimum on the water side. So that would be the update Oh, and then also item number six on that outline, basically give the council an update on where our discussion goes today with water main replacement and billing descriptions. So, and the last item, number seven, there is that at our last meeting, the commission has offered to host a joint planning meeting if additional collaboration is required for further discussion with those items. So that's what we're reviewing again. The commission, anyone that has time is welcome to attend that as well with us on next week, Monday.
What time is that at, John?
5:15, I believe. I don't know what time will be on the agenda, but they start at 5:15 and the city council meeting's at 7. So sometime between 5:15 and 7, we will have the podium.
Thank you.
Any questions on our presentation? I felt that it would be appropriate to put it in the packet so the commission is aware ahead of time of the items that will be in front of the council work session. And if there's any comments, by all means, share them with us. Reach out to Beth or myself, and we can alter our agenda for the council work session regarding our updates.
And if anyone is able to attend, should we notify you?
Please.
Certainly.
And that concludes my update for the general manager's report. Okay. Thank you.
This is helpful to see that. Helps to stay on task at the work session as well, because I think that's always a little bit of a challenge for them to get all the work done that they need to get done in the session. Anything else to come before the commission today? Anything else? Anyone has to come before the commission? Anything else? If not, the meeting is adjourned. Maybe you have